Kia ora, welcome to the fourth season of the Power Up podcast, powered by Te Puna Umanga, Venture Taranaki, and produced by Raw Collective. Season four has even more innovative, driven entrepreneurs doing amazing things in a variety of sectors. This series not only highlights the strength and diversity of entrepreneurship within Taranaki, but it's also a library of real-life case studies for budding business people to learn from. Taranaki business founders lift the curtain to tell honest stories of how they've got to where they are. We talk about their wins, their challenges, their inspiration, and their breakthroughs. And at the same time, we reflect on the reality of growing and running a business here in Taranaki. We talk about the unique natural and economic landscape that fuels both businesses and lifestyles and empowers founders to be at their best. I'm David Downs, and this is the latest in a series all about flourishing Taranaki businesses and thriving Taranaki people. No mai, haere mai, we welcome you to hear our enterprising future like no other. Festival is a celebration of Taranaki produce, with 4 days of food-inspired events around the region. It was started in 2018 by Rachel Church, who moved to Taranaki in 2012 and was quickly impressed at the quality of local bars and restaurants. In particular, she saw the opportunity to foster collaborations between producers that highlighted local food and drink. Originally, the first few festivals were run annually, but now it's a quarterly event with a focus on seasonal produce. Many of the biggest names in Taranaki food and hospitality sectors take part, often in collaboration with each other, for unique one-off events. Rachel is a linchpin that brings together food producers, bars and restaurants from around Taranaki, both officially and unofficially, while also running an accommodation business. She's energetic and passionate and a huge advocate for the unique Taranaki experience. Well, kia ora, Rachel. Welcome.
Kia ora.
Where have you come from today?
Where have I come from?
Yeah.
Hosking House, 1 Victoria Road.
Oh, so that's a Hosking House accent, is it?
Yeah, well, originally came from Long Island, New York.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Big hair, big nails.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. Well, welcome. That's great. How long have you been in New Zealand?
It's going on 13 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's been amazing.
You're obviously liking it here. You're still here.
Absolutely. They closed the borders after I arrived. Yeah, I do love it. I do love it. We moved here from London. My partner and I met when we were both living in the UK.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we had originally planned to live in Auckland.
Yeah.
And had all our belongings shipped there.
Yeah.
Came to stay with Rod's family while we waited for that and really fell in love with the region. So
what attracted you to this space?
It's vibrancy, really, in every sector. So obviously the natural beauty of it, the artistic scene.
Yeah.
But for us, it was the food and wine and things. We were at a surf festival drinking Coronas and we said, this isn't too bad. Why are we thinking of going to Auckland?
This is not terrible.
No, we love it. Yeah.
Wow.
So we really thought it was a good place to try and make a new life here.
Maybe it's my New Zealand sort of shyness and humbleness, but I would have thought coming from the hustle and bustle of New York and Long Island and all that sort of stuff, you'd find maybe New Zealand a little quiet, or is
well,
is it good?
You know, it was a good time in my life as well. You know, I think maybe in my 20s, I might have been pulling my hair out, but my late 30s, it was like, this has got just enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. It's and the lifestyle's easy. So
yeah.
It just impressed us enough to say, why are we moving all the way up to Auckland, you know, away from your family? Let's give it a go here. So,
right.
Yeah.
And what this place really needs is a food festival,
yes.
Which we're going to get to. So that probably explains why you spelt festival wrong. Did you know that? I don't want to be the one to break it to you.
No, I spelled it very correctly for a Taranaki. It's festival, yes.
Festival.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I went to the festival the other day. But tell us about the idea. Where did it come from?
One of the things that I do is run a bed and breakfast, and we greet a lot of tourists to the region, and they would come here and say, wow, the food scene's amazing. You know, they had their little guide talking about the natural beauty and the things that we were promoting at the time, but they came here really unaware of the really bustling food scene that we had.
Yeah.
And I come from an event producing background. That's what I used to do for a living before moving to Taranaki. And I just kept saying, like, why don't we have something here? We have such a vibrant food scene. Why don't we have something?
Why doesn't someone do something?
Why doesn't someone do something? That was exactly it, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you went to the council then, as I understand.
Well, I think I was doing a job for the council at the time. So they could see, you know, my skills and what I was doing. And I was managed to actually sit near someone that run the See It in the City budget. So, and we all started saying, this is a great idea. Someone should do something. Someone should do something. And then, so we kind of collaborated on that and very, very grateful to get some initial funding to get it off the ground.
It's a cool part of the story, isn't it?
That
you know, people like the council, people like Venture Taranaki sort of swung in behind and went, yeah, great idea.
Absolutely. Gave gave me a little bit of seed money to just get the, you know, the thought down and to get out and running. So that was great. It was a really good opportunity. So,
And that was 2018 was the first?
It was, festival. Yeah. So that was in 2017. So 2018 was the first event. Yeah.
What was it like back then?
It was great. Very well supported in terms of funding and people's reaction to it. Getting something off the ground and running is always a labor. And this was a real labor of love. I was very much supported by my partner who said, go do this on a volunteer basis. Yeah. I'll pick up some more work. So it was a lot of work, but it came together. You know, it was an idea. You have to start somewhere. So that's kind of what we did in 2018.
Fabulous. And was it tough getting the restaurants on board? I mean, this concept of a food festival, that was people trying to, what do you mean by that? Are we going to be with our competitors? Or how does that work?
I think, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. Some people were extremely enthusiastic. You know, you go and meet with Terry Parks and he's like, you tell him Terry's on board. You know, and so you get a lot of people that are really early adapters and want to see something thriving. There are a lot of people that obviously it's a commercial element. They have to make sure that it works for them. So it was, you know, it was a mixture, but everyone was enthusiastic. It's just whether they could do it at that time. You know, hospitality, you know, even before COVID, this is a real competitive and people work in their own front of house. So it's not like we have a lot of operators here that don't work on their own business. So
that's right. Yeah. Hospitality is a notorious long hours, long standing, you know, hard work. Yep. So then you said, and let's do another
let's
thing.
Let's do something on top of what you do, you know. And so, but they're all behind it in terms of what it does to support the region. It's just whether it worked for them at the time.
Yeah, because it's not just an event. You've a series of events over a few days. It's, you know, how does the thing structure? How does it work?
Yeah, so where we got to it after 2018, all the way to 2021, was that it should be event-based, not menu-based. And so we go out to the industry, and that's restaurateurs, brewers, distillers, and venues, and growers, and say, if you want to put on an event, here is this platform. We'll help you market it and you put it on and the region sort of benefits. So that's really it's a platform for them to create their own events. So it's by no means me doing it. They're professionals. They run amazing events and they've really, really been doing very well.
And what about, so that's on the kind of supply side of the equation where you've got the restaurants and interstate, all these other supplies. What about the demand side, the consumers, the customers, the punters, are they turning up?
Yes, they are. They are, which has been tremendous. So you have this idea, you build this platform, you get people on board, and then you say, oh my goodness, will people come? So we started the new platform in 2021, and we've sold more than 93-95% of all tickets. Normally, half of our events sell out. So that was an extremely important thing for us as we got into this new format, is that the local people have to be behind it. We need to have Taranaki behind it first and foremost, as much as we want to bring people.
Yeah, you can't rely on the outside.
No. And we're building it for them. Yeah. We want to showcase what we have here in this region and it's got to appeal to them. So it's been really loud and clear and it's been quite fun to see that people knew when we buy tickets to 2 to 3 events. So that's just wonderful. So all those types of things have been a really good affirmation that we're on the right track.
Yeah. But, you know, we've mentioned it. We sort of skirted around it because you thought about starting in 2017, 18, 2021. Clearly, there were some pretty big issues that happened in the hospo sector in that, you know, COVID period. What was that like when COVID hit? How did that have that impact on the festival?
Oh, it just shut everything down, didn't it? And your hearts were with everyone within hospitality in terms of that. I remember we were doing a radio something with Terry Parks and Daniel from King & Queens talking about festival. One day, the next day, we all just knew it was over. So I just felt bad for them and that we all needed to do what we needed to do. So we didn't do anything in 2020 other than we tried to do some, you know, support local. There was a whole wonderful support local campaign. We tried to get around that. But, you know, I just knew that there's nothing we could do. And we were so poised. We had all the support. We had a really great platform. So it was.
That was going to be like the third year.
It was going to get.
It's just really going to.
The little event that could was finally going to make its way. But hey, listen, there were a lot of other things that we should have been concerned about at that time.
Yeah. But as you say, it was an opportunity maybe to just take a pause and think about how could we do things better when we come back again? Did you find those opportunities for growth?
Hugely so. I mean, and I've had a tremendous relationship with Venture Taranaki and the New Plymouth District Council. And I went to Venture Taranaki and said, it's a perfect time to get outside consultation into what we're doing. You know, it's not just me doing this. I need to make sure that everyone's behind it. And so actually Venture Taranaki found out that Sarah Meikle from Visa Wellington on a Plate does consulting.
Oh, nice, Sarah. She does a great job.
She does an amazing job. And she goes around to the different regions and helps folks like ourselves to make sure what we're doing reflects our region. And so we're really honored to have Sarah here in the region for 2 days, I think it was.
Yeah.
I got to spend a tremendous amount of time with her and we had a really good industry sort of coming together collaboration to say, what should a food event in Taranaki look like?
That's right. Well, she's recognized as being a real expert. And so that you would have got the suppliers and the vendors to come and listen.
Oh yes, absolutely. And she was great because, you know, some of the challenges that I was having, you know, I'm kind of a humble person. I don't really share those out loud. And she would be like, if you think a food festival is going to make money, you're out of, you know, that's not what it's for. She just was real direct communicator, which is what we needed to hear.
Yeah.
You know, so if we want to do something, it's for the greater benefit. So that
right.
when people think of Taranaki, they do think of our food scene here.
Oh, that's fantastic. And when you came back from COVID, was it therefore was festival different?
Yes. Know? Yeah. Yeah. How? We went from being completely restaurant based to more of a collaborative event. So this is all about the local collaborations between the food that we grow here and how we get it on a plate and the tremendous venues that we have. So it's that collaborative event-based, not menu-based, a seasonal approach. So we have the four seasons over the course of 2 years. So it's all those little local factors that have really created this niche-y, like cool little set of events.
Right. Because that, and that's interesting because there's the point about collaboration, you know, because it is, say, a platform. It's not you running an event and other people coming up. They're all kind of part of it. Mm-hmm. How does that different, you know, from what the normal everyday life of a restaurateur is like? You know, suddenly they're thinking outside their own kitchen and collaborating with others.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they all enjoy it. I mean, a portion of people that are involved in Feastival do it for their staff and for their creativity. You know, they want to partner with local. They just don't really sometimes get the time to do it. So if you think about, you know, the cereal griller with Shining Peak Brewery having like a fried chicken, you know, event in the summer. Like that's a cool thing for them to do. Oh. They're known for their burgers, but then for them to try something new with Shiny Peak and the music's playing. So it's just, it's good for them. And they are creative people by nature. So for them to be able to do something.
Nice. How do you make those collaborations happen though? Is this you connecting people to each other?
Or? I wish I could say it was. No, it's and, you know, and at times I do, you know, but it really happens naturally, especially in this region.
Yeah.
You know, people do want to know where their food is grown and they want to get local ingredients on a plate. They hear about someone doing some really good gin distilling and maybe they want to pair that with some chocolate that's local. So they're really doing it themselves and they come to me with their ideas.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's new in the industry, I'll put them in touch with people. And again, our venues, like, you know, we have this beautiful Len Lai Gallery and, you know, they're open to having people there. We have the great facilities at Wit. They have beautiful kitchens. They're open to having people do things there. So, yeah, it's quite cool.
Did you get media interest and national interest as well?
You know, we've had some national coverage since the beginning. You know, people like Air New Zealand are always happy to put things in QR magazine and stuff like that. We do get some interest with cuisine and things.
Yeah.
We'd love to have more. That's the next stage of Feastival, is really making sure that the entire country knows about it and what we do. So that's the next stage in getting that kind of coverage. So
it feels like a gem, a little gem of Taranaki that people need to know about. And to your, the way that you've refactored it to be seasonal, you know, and have those four events over 2 years, I think that's super clever.
Yeah, it's fun. It is really good. It comes around quickly, I'll tell you.
So means you don't get a lot of sleep sometimes.
Well, no, it's just more that, you know, we're going back out with my little hat in my hand going, can we, you know, can we get some events or can we get some money?
Yeah.
But it is, it gives people, and you know, they don't have to be involved in all of them. People can pick and choose the season they want to be involved in when things work for them.
Yeah, I'm not a winter person.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the winter one. I'm more of a spring.
Great. that's coming in September.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll be here for it.
You're most welcome.
Behind the scenes and all of that, it's not like this is your only thing you're doing. You've also got Hosking House.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Yeah. So when we moved here, it was sort of, what were we going to do for careers? It was really easy to transfer a career in large corporate technology events to Taranaki. So we always joked when we would be on dates about like our dream careers and what would it be? And it would be, wouldn't that be cool to open a little inn or a little, something that we could do together? And my partner, Rodney, is very handy and good communicator and loves tourists and things. So, yeah, so we put our heads together and opened Hosking House. And so we do that.
It feels like the beginning of a movie when you say that. We thought about we're going to set up an inn and some far-flung region of the world and how we're doing it.
Yeah, no, and it's lovely to hear you say that. But no, yeah, it's been a lot of hard work and we really enjoy it. We're very lucky to have, oddly, our guests are mainly European, 90% European guests that come to us.
And how have they heard about you?
Little booking agencies, you know, that want that experience. We are a traditional bed and breakfast. I'm not sure that, you know, a lot of Kiwis are that interested in it. As they see what we do, you know, I think they think there might be doilies or a cat in the corner or something, you know, but it is a complete floor of the house.
Do you have fried bread?
No, we do not have fried bread.
Every B&B I've stayed at has had, but mainly they've been in Ireland and places.
Oh, like, yeah, maybe. No,
we cold countries.
We have a local Billow bread from Billow Bakery. Yes. Yes. We try to do seasonal things from the garden, things from local producers and things.
Wow. Mm. And how has that influenced Festival? How the two things work together? You said it was some of the people that were visiting you that were mentioning.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also helped me meet people within the hospitality scene. You know, we recommend restaurants, we book people in, we are sending people to Billow, you know.
Yeah.
So I think having those relationships has really helped put my foot in the door when I came to talking about Festival.
Nice. Mm. And do you promote it to your guests when they're in town?
We do, but again, because they're European, you know, they start booking like now for next year. So right. we do try to promote it, but I'll get on that as well. It's out of my to-do list.
You got a lot of things to get on with. Yeah, yeah. What's it like being in Taranaki? You've got a unique perspective. You've been here 13 years. So you're kind of, you're us now. You're a part of us. Mm. But at the same time, you can still remember your previous world and life. And did it live up to that movie-like expectation? Oh, when you were sitting there over that dinner, having that bottle of wine, dreaming up crazy ideas with your partner, are you now living that dream?
When you describe it like that, yes. If you would have asked me a couple hours earlier when I smelled like bacon and I was running around, you know, there's a reality of being a small business owner, especially right in the middle of tourism season. You know, it really is October through April here. So it is. I mean, I do remind myself to, on a daily basis, be very grateful for what we're doing because it is a lot of fun. It's wonderful to share this region with other people. I do really love living here. I love the balance of life, living by the park, by the beach, the community nature of it.
Yeah.
Because living in larger places, I didn't really ever have that. So here it's easy to be a part of this community. And it's a very generous one. People have been extremely kind to us, especially knowing that I'm an immigrant, especially over the things of the COVID and stuff like that, right. or whatever, you know, life brings you. People do know that I'm sort of here without family. Yeah. You know, my partner's family is amazing. But yeah, no, it's been lovely. I do love it. And then when I get thinking it's a bit too small, I get on the plane and I go to New York. So
there you go. You got the best, and that's it. You can do that.
Yeah, the balance of it.
Good. And do they know you as the festival lady? Like you, are you like the part of that community? You've got that connection point with everybody.
I mean, I think they know about festival. Yeah. And that's tremendous. You know, they've got tremendous support from the industry.
Yeah. So. And you built that support. You not only did you create festival, then you created also helped create the Taranaki Culinary Art Action Group or Culinary Action Group.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a governance board for festival.
Right.
That will eventually become a charitable trust.
So it's not just you now anymore.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it had been this American voice going around talking to people for too long. And I said, I need some help and I need some strategy. And that's what really we were able to do is to bring in some strategic people with a lot of great event and hospitality background to sort of say, are we on the right track?
Yeah.
You know, gives me a lot of support and it helps, you know, with creativity and things.
And what's your wild idea? Where would you like it to go? You know, what's your 5-year, 10-year, whatever it might be, strategy?
I think it, you know, something along the lines that it's as well known as Visa Wellington on a plate within New Zealand.
Yeah.
I think that it does provide economic benefit to the region and that does benefit our culinary industry. That those are the two things. As much as I'm really proud that we sell out events, those are the lofty goals that we're going for, is that it clearly has an impact on this region and on the culinary scene here.
Wonderful. Mm. Well, you sound like you're well on track to do that.
We're trying, yes.
Now, last question from me.
Yes, okay.
What is the best and worst business advice you've ever been given?
Oh, it may not be advice. I think it would be the observing.
Was it set up a B&B?
Yeah, I mean, don't do it. If you don't like, you know, my friends.
Smelling of bacon.
Yeah, they said I should be betting cocktails with my, I'm not a morning person. I think it's observing business people and gleaning from their successes. And I think the best types of people that I've been able to learn from and grow from are, you know, hardworking. They say yes to opportunities. So even if they may not be 100% prepared at the time, they'd go forth. And they're really connected. They're connected to their customers and to the people that work for them. They take time to get to know those types of people and to really build those relationships. I think when I first started out of my career, I was so career focused and I wasn't, you know, like I was just business focused rather than looking up out of my cubicle and saying good morning to people. And so knowing that that's a huge part of business has been a real growth for me to see that.
Right.
And in terms of the worst, I think it's just the exact opposite. You know, people that, you know, have ideas, but maybe they want everything perfect before they right. get out. You just go and do it, you know, learn along the way. And the people that are so focused on the product or the outcome that they don't see the people around them on the way. So that's kind of my strategy.
That's a fantastic strategy. And it seems to be working extremely well for you.
I hope so.
Well, thank you very much for sharing Festival with Taranaki and with us this morning. Kia ora.
My complete pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. And a special thanks to Venture Taranaki for making this Power Up podcast possible. Highlighting Taranaki's success stories for others to learn from is just one way Venture Taranaki helps entrepreneurs to get ideas off the ground. If you're looking to start a new venture or want to power up your existing business, Venture Taranaki can help. With a wide range of services such as free startup clinics, advisory support, business mentoring, masterclasses, investment advice, and networking opportunities, VT is here to help you bring your idea to life. And in Taranaki, you can enjoy the like no other mountain-to-sea lifestyle. There's something for everyone, with stunning natural landscapes and a unique buzz about the place with diverse events, arts and culture, and a thriving food and beverage scene. If you've got this far and you've enjoyed the episode, please rate it, review it, or subscribe for more. It helps others find us.